Some of you will know that I love mountains, so I often talk about them, and I'm going to talk about them again today. Just the idea of going up a mountain is quite an exciting thing, but it can also be quite a dangerous thing. And sometimes you have to climb up the mountain. And when people climb, one of the things they'll often do is they'll rope themselves together. And the idea in that is if one falls, the other one can hold them back. But sometimes as well, if you're really wise, not only will you be roped together, but actually you will be tied into the rock, into the mountain. So that if one falls, the rope is attached to the mountain, so the mountain will take the brunt of either one of them falling. But it's interesting in our society that we live in today, and indeed in climbing today, sort of free climbing, climbing on your own without ropes is kind of the thing. That's the thing to be looked up to. But it's innately unwise, because if someone falls and you're on your own and you're not roped in and you're not roped to somebody else and you're not roped to the rock, you are likely to be very seriously injured, if not killed, while you're when you fall. And you can also learn a lot, and there are mountaineering places where you can actually go and you can see the routes mapped up the mountains where other climbers have been, and you can learn from other climbers, and they will give you in detail. They say, well, on the way up this happened and that happened, it's really dangerous there, avoid that, but there's a way up there. And they'll draw like maps of routes. And Joe and I did this a bit when we did the Three Peaks this year. We got to the bottom and we reflected on the fact that in one place the river was flooded, so we had to wade through it. And at times where we had a little fall, and I'll tell you a bit more about that later. And we kind of reflected back, well, we'd take a different route next time, and we didn't like that route. And you kind of reflect back on it. And this I want to use as a way of looking at life together, and how we can look at life and we can reflect back on it, and how we can go through life together is a bit like going up a mountain. Because the truth is, at some point or another, life is going to get tough for every single one of us. Some people seem to have it harder than others, but at some point life is going to get tough for you in one way or another, and it might be some life event, an illness, a sickness, or it might be financial, or it might be relational, it might be a family thing, or it might be job thing. Something's going to come up which is going to bring challenge to your life. And so one of the things we can do is look back. We can do what's called mapping life, and as we journey through it, and we can look back and reflect back on life and say, oh, that was a difficult time. What did I learn on it? What do I need to avoid in future? What do I need to do, because that was really good, next time? And we can reflect back. And I have a spiritual director that helps me do this. He's a guy who lives in Woking, and I go and chat to him about once every couple of months. And he helps me do that, look back on life and look at the tough parts, the good parts, and be encouraged by some, challenged, avoid some completely in future, and reflect back and actually draw this map of my life. So we're not just looking a little tiny bit of life, because there's a tendency, some of us are good at this, it comes naturally, others of us are not so good. We tend to just get caught up in the here and now. But sometimes it's really important to reflect back on life and think about the things that we've been through in life, and they can help us as we go through them before. And you can't do it when you're in trouble. All these things you have to have prepared before you go up the mountain. You have to have prepared before you got up it, as we journey together. And in our story today, we see a bit of this going on the Emmaus Road, as these two people are journeying. And as Joe said, they're coming alongside. Jesus came alongside these guys who are talking on the road. They're going away from Jerusalem after the crucifixion and resurrection. And they're just kind of doing a bit of reflection, but they've not seen the big picture. But as God comes alongside them, all of a sudden they start to see the big picture. And life is really different when they look at it, not just this event that happened in Jerusalem, which everybody's talking about, they say. They suddenly see the big picture of it all, and their life is changed, and they change the entire direction of their life. They're going in one direction, they turn around and go back in Jerusalem, we read at the end as a result. And the reason they do is because they meet with Jesus. And essentially in life, that's what we need to be able to do. We need to meet with Jesus, God. And that's before we get into our rough seas and before we go. Now, Jesus, if you like, is the rock. And as long as you're attached to the rock, if you fall, you will not fall far if you are attached to the rock. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says bad things will not happen to Christians, or if, even if you don't have a faith, that bad things will not happen to you. It doesn't say that. But God says, I will be there, and you will not fall and come to great harm by it, because I will be there to take you through it. Indeed, that rock, the primary way that God speaks to us today is through Scripture. And indeed, Jesus, God himself, used Scripture in our story today, and he used it at time of temptation in the desert, and he uses it here, and it's right through the Bible. Jesus uses Scripture. And they were changed by it. Verse 32 says, were our hearts not burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? And you can see that in your service sheet, that bit there where it says that Scripture is so powerful, that rock. And being attached to the rock, which is God, and through Scripture, is the best way of anchoring your life. And not anchoring it when it's going well, but anchoring it when it goes hard. But you need to do it before you fall. It's no good saying, I should have anchored myself when I'm falling down a mountain. You need to do it beforehand. And we need to be reading Scripture every day of our lives. A non-legalistic way, so I mustn't miss a day. It's not like that, and it's not some magic. But God speaks to us and guides us, because the whole of Scripture is life mapping. It's the mapping of God with his people. So the Old Testament, if I was to sum up the Old Testament, it was God telling his people, don't go in that direction, go in this way. And they go, well, I'm going this way anyway, I'm not going to take any notice. And they get in a right mess. And they just don't seem to learn. But we've got all this Old Testament stuff which shows God's people doing stuff without God, not doing what the Scripture says, and doing their own thing. And then wondering, has God abandoned us? Why is it so terrible? And we sometimes see that in our own society. We go, why has God allowed this to do? All this to happen in this world? Well, the simple answer is, because we've not done what God has said. And we're not puppets controlled by God. We have freedom. So when we don't do things that God says, even the innocent get hurt badly. And it's no good. So we need to get back to God. The New Testament tells us that Jesus has come and shown us a way in life which does not rely on us being right and getting it wrong. It relies on us keeping coming back to the person of Jesus. And this is what I preached on last Sunday evening. We just need to come back to the person of Jesus day in, day out, and asking for his Holy Spirit to bolt us, attach us to God, the rock. And so when we do fall, we know that Jesus is with us, and we know what's going to happen, that even though we go through bad times, even though we go through, says, doesn't it, in that psalm, even though we go through the shadow of the valley of death, God is still with us and will not let us fall to our deaths. And as I said, verse 33 says, when they heard this, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. When God spoke, they turned their lives around and it was different. They acted differently. The second thing I want to talk about is the idea of being roped together. And that idea is simply that as Christians, we should be linked to one another. And there are different ways in that. Now, when Joe and I were coming down Mount Snowdon, these are Joe's walking sticks. I'm sure I shouldn't call them walking sticks. But they're Joe's walking sticks. And when she was coming down Snowdon, we were on a very precarious, rocky bit. And I was just below Joe, and she fell, and this one is still bent. I've almost bent it back, but I can't bend it properly back because that's why it won't go in, because it's still bent to this day. Joe had a really quite nasty fall. But thankfully, although we weren't roped together, we were together, and she literally fell onto me, and I turned round and caught her. And she actually would have fallen quite a long way had I not been there to catch her. And it's that idea which I want to give to one and us, that we need to be roped together or attached together with one another before we fall. So my question to you, is there somebody in your life who you're roped together with who will catch you when you fall? It could be in a home group, a growth group. It could be a friend. Sometimes it can be family. But there needs to be a level of relationship in there which is real, that they will catch you and they will act, and you need to be sure that they're reliable. And it's a two-way thing, okay? It's not a one-way thing. So I'm not talking about a professional relationship with a doctor and a patient. That's a professional. I'm talking about a church family relationship here, where you are relying on one another, leaning, one leans on one sometimes and then the other one leans on the other and catches, and you take it in turns to do that. It's us as a church family, how church family is meant to be. Church family is not meant to, as Tom was saying last week, yes, I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, thank you, when inside you're just crying. It's not meant to be that. We are meant to be real, and we're meant to be honest. And you need people that you can be honest with. So when you fall, somebody will catch you. And we all fall at somewhere. And it's not that, you know, I'm a helper, a rescuer. It's that we look after each other. And I just want to also add that, of course, you will have known that this will never happen in this church anyway. You can't rely on the vicars either. And you're not meant to. It's not a biblical model for the vicars to do all the pastoral things. In churches, statistically, churches where the vicars do all the pastoral care, they don't grow because they're always limited by the amount the vicars can care. Now, I'm not saying the vicars don't care in this church. I'd like to think they do. But what's wonderful is we have pastoral assistants, but even then we're not meant to rely on a pastoral. Everybody's meant to rely on everybody else. That's the biblical model. But who are you roped to if you were to have a fall? And particularly for us men, I'm rubbish at asking for help. I'm rubbish of doing deep relationships. I'm not good at it. It takes me a long time. But we need to know there are there people in our lives who will catch us if we fall, and that sometimes needs some work. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is rubbish. When I grew up, everything, if you like, went in the black bin. Nothing but milk bottles, and this is an expression which our children laughed at the other day, pop bottles. Do you know the expression pop bottles? What I mean by that? You could recycle, you get 5p for a pop bottle, and don't worry if you don't understand that. But my brother and I used to go and collect them and get ourselves a few pennies. But nothing much was recycled when I grew up. It was all like, went in the bin. That was the way it was. And now, we're in a society now which has gone, maybe we should recycle things? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that that's true in life as well. That even things which appear like rubbish or bad things or difficult things, and by that I'm talking about things like divorce, addiction, redundancy, financial problems, family problems, sickness and illness, those kind of things. Things that I was kind of brought up to deny, forget, hide, because they'll define you as failure and you must own up to them and you must appear not to be like those things, and they were shameful things. We have a God who is a God of redemption, and he uses the broken for his glory. Even things in the Bible labeled sin, things we really shouldn't have done and we know we shouldn't have done, God uses, he turns it round and uses it for his glory. And if you don't believe me, look at the cross. The cross is an utter failure of brokenness. Here's God, naked, nailed to a cross. What an utter failure. He can't say anything more. He can't do anything more because he's nailed to a cross.
dead. It's an utter failure. And yet, for the Christian, we know that the greatest victory that happened is on the cross. The cross is the place of victory. It's the cross where we were saved, that and the resurrection. But it's because of the cross that we can have the resurrection. And it's true for our brokenness too. I'm not saying we should suddenly spill all the bad things that happen in our lives. But it does mean that we can do the paraclesis, the coming alongside others, and say, "Yeah, I've been there." And you don't need to give them advice. You can just walk with them, journey with them, and just come alongside them, just as Jesus did with along the road to Emmaus. He just walked with them, came alongside them. And even if you haven't been through that, you could do it. Maybe something different. And you just walk, and it helps you. And you know people are not judgmental about it. You know, I've got some things in my life that I've tried to be quite honest about, the fact that I was married before, and also that I had quite serious depression at one time. These are not things, and at first I was so ashamed of them, and they're not things I'm proud of now. But I do, it does allow me to be really honest. So anyone, I feel sorry for anyone who comes to me for remarriage, because I'm really honest. I'll go, "Do you know that 65% of all remarriages end in divorce?" Because I want people who get remarried to have dealt and got closure in their past marriages. And I'll be brutally honest, because I've been there. And so they know I'm not judging them, because I'm remarried. But it allows me to just be really honest and be open with people and help, because I want to help. Which actually brings me, before I go on, I just want to say a slight caution. If you've not gone through your difficulty, then allow somebody else that you're roped with to help you go through. When you're going through things, it's not a good time to be helping other people going through the same thing. You need to deal with what's going on in your life first. Because there are some people who they have stuff going on in their own life, and they try and deal with it by rescuing other people. Not a healthy thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. Let other people help you, and when you've gone through it, then you can walk with other people. It's not a good thing, because some people never deal with the stuff in their own life because they're so busy helping everybody else. So just a slight caution there with that. And my thing about confronting people remarried, there's an expression which called care fronting, which is another way of saying confronting. Now, the word, for some of you, if you're not a very confrontational person, I just own up that I am. If you're not a very confrontational person, the idea of confrontation will be avoid it at all costs. But there is a thing, so they've renamed it care fronting. In other words, there is a time of confrontation which is good. And if you don't believe me, Jesus talked to church leaders calling them a brood of vipers. That's a little rude. And Jesus was incredibly blunt and rude to people. And if you look at this, when he first comes along, you do need to earn the right of the person. So this is done out of relationship. It's done walking with them. And in our story, Jesus comes alongside them. He doesn't even own up who he is. He just asks them questions. If you look at verse 17 and 19, he just, you know, says, "Oh, what are you talking about?" Oh, and he kind of builds the relationship with them. But then a little way further on, by the time you get to verse 25, he says this: "How foolish you are." Jesus is not somebody, he's definitely not English. Did you know that Jesus is not English? He's not English. But English in the sense of doesn't do confrontation. But he says, "How foolish you are." He's kind of earned their respect in the conversation. Then he turns around and goes, you've got it wrong. Now, are you, the people we're roped together with, I should say, are the people that we need to do the care fronting. And it's a bit like being on a mountain and going, "Don't step on that ledge or you will fall. I've done it. Don't go there." And sometimes we need to hear truths which we ourselves can't hear and require other people. And I'm saying this publicly because we've got a few of our leaders here today. I do try and give our leadership of this church permission to say to me, "James, you're wrong. Don't do that. Or you shouldn't have done that, James."
And we need people around us who tell us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. I remember Joe saying to me once, she was doing some care fronting with a friend of hers, and she told me the story of the fact that she went out with a guy, a boyfriend, who after a while she decided he was really not the right boyfriend for her at all and stopped the relationship. And when she stopped it, all her friends said to her, "Oh, thank goodness, he was such a bad boyfriend for you, just not the right kind of guy. You should really marry somebody like James." No, that isn't what they said. They didn't say that. But they did say to her, "You really shouldn't have gone out with him, he was the wrong guy." But they didn't tell her until she had stopped the relationship, and she was like, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I've since watched Jo go and say to some of her friends, "Look, this is not a healthy relationship." That's a hard thing to do. I was really proud of her for doing that. This is not a healthy relationship you're in. It really isn't. And they don't always take any notice of her. So you don't necessarily get, if you share it in love, it's not always received well. But we are sometimes called to care front. And sometimes to be honest. So my question to you is this. Are you prepared for falling off that mountain? Because we're all going up that mountain. You can't avoid the mountain. We're going up it. And it is dangerous. And at some point we will all fall. And my question is, are you prepared for it? And one of the things you can do is life mapping. You can look back at your life and think of the good things and lessons you've learned and things that are. And I'd advise you to get somebody to do that with, somebody you trust or love, or you can do it like I have. You can get somebody in the diocese, and you don't have to be a vicar to get a spiritual director. Anybody can get a spiritual director. A friend of mine's got the same spiritual director as me, and he's not clergy. So anyone can get it. It might be a friend, and you can do it a bit in your home groups too. But also, and you have to be honest, reflecting things are good and bad and reflecting back in life and looking at the big picture. And as part of that, you know, you need to be reading the Bible and attached to God. And so I've got this thing of the rock. Who is the rock? Christ Jesus is our rock. Are you attached to the rock? Jesus. By every day coming to Jesus and speaking to him. Just like really honest. Read the Psalms. Brutal honesty in there. And then he comes back. If you read the Psalms, David, when he hears, he goes, "Oh my goodness, God, it's awful, it's terrible. But you are a faithful God and you will see me through this." He comes back to Scripture. And so we can do that. So who are you attached to the rock by daily connecting to Jesus and asking the Holy Spirit to come into? Secondly, who rock first? Who are you roped to? Have you got somebody, a growth group, a friend, a partner, who you can be roped to? Thirdly, your rubbish in life is powerful. It can help other people. And it can make you a very different person. Just being honest about the brokenness in your life. We're all broken, truth is. And brokenness is okay. Because we have a God who brings his broken. Let's get that rubbish and recycle it. That doesn't mean redo it. It means it can be used as a blessing as well as the curse it might have been to us. And last of all, the last R, rebuke. So roped, rock, roped, rubbish and rebuke. Is there somebody who you know who just needs to hear a correction in their life, who you're already roped to and love, but you just need to speak a truth to them? I worry that a lot of people are going to come up to me and say, "James, there's something I need to tell you." And on that note, I'm going to stop. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who is a rock. Help us, Lord, as daily we are attached to your rock through prayer and through Bible study. Help us just to be attached to the person of Jesus for when we fall. Help us to know, Lord, and if we aren't roped to someone, show us who it is that you want us to be roped to. And maybe there's somebody you're calling us to go and invite into a relationship. And show us who that is. Lord, thank you that you are a redeeming God of all rubbish as well, and that you redeem our rubbish. Help us to use that. And last of all, Lord, you are a God who corrects. Time and time again, we see it in the Old and the New Testament. You are a God who corrects. Help us to be willing to say the truth to those we love. Even though some of us are English, we still want to learn to do it, Lord. It's hard for us, but in your spirit we can do it. So come and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.